It's time for All Things Gardening with Charlie Nardozzi, brought to you by Gardener Supply and Vermont Victory Greenhouses. Hey there, Charlie.
Good morning, Mary.
Well, Charlie, last episode we talked about the flower that survived all the recent heavy rains. They just really do well, and it's a kind of lily, the daylily, but you want to talk about some other kinds of lilies.
Yes, I was recently up at the Coastal Maine Botanical Garden in Booth Bay, and a great place to go visit in the summer or fall, and they had great displays of trumpet lilies. And I wanted to talk about some of the taller lilies that are hardy, easy to grow, and nice ones to have in the landscape. So the trumpet lilies in the same family as the Easter lily, so you can imagine what the flower looks like. Very fragrant, hardy to zone 5, so probably best to grow it in warmer parts of the state. And there's some great varieties. The one I saw over there was Regal Petticoat, and the fragrance and the size of them. It was 5 feet tall, they had maybe 10 flowers per stem, and they had 20 stems in a bed. Ah, it was stunning. Another one you could grow is a tiger lily. It only grows about 4 feet tall. It's hardy to zone 3, so really tough. And it has freckles, not stripes, but freckles on the orange or red colored petals. But it does self-sow readily, so this is one that you're gonna have to watch out for because you get little babies growing up. If you don't want the babies, deadhead religiously. The third one is a martagon lily or a Turk's cap lily. This one grows, again, about 6 feet tall, has smaller flowers that are downward facing, and they are about 3 inches in diameter, lots of blooms per stem, and some of them are fragrant, like Arabian Nights has a nice fragrance to them. And this one's unusual because it can take some shade, whereas the other one's like full sun. You want to plant the bulbs in the spring or the fall in a well-drained soil in full sun, unless they're the martagon lilies, and protect them from mice and voles and things of that nature. And also grow them in groups so they don't blow over, or grow them next to taller perennials. Now, if you have problems with the red lily leaf beetle, you can grow some varieties that don't seem to get them. There's one called Lilium henryi Madam Butterfly. It's a species type, beautiful lily, and the red lily leaf beetle doesn't seem to like them. And if you have some favorites that do have the beetles on them, you want to start picking those red beetles in the spring, early summer, when the bulbs start coming out. Throw them into some soapy water, squish them, and then put a rubber glove on your hand. And if any of those beetles laid eggs and had some larvae on the bottom side of the leaves, you can just squish them with that rubber glove as you go up the stem of that lily.
Melinda has a question, and she called in about old-fashioned roses that are kind of bullying some other plants and flowers. Let's give it a listen.
So-called old-fashioned roses bushes who are invading and destroying the entire garden.
So Melinda, yes, there's a lot of old-fashioned or species roses out there. Some of them are great, like the rugosa roses or the prairie rose, but the one I think you're referring to is the multiflora rose. This is a big bushy plant that has white clusters of flowers on them, so you do want to remove this one. Dig out small plants and kill them that way. Cut them down repeatedly will do it. And if you have a really big plant and you do have to resort to an herbicide, what you want to do is get a brush killer and paint it on the cut areas that you have cut the stems down to about a foot or so. Paint it on that, and that should kill it. But it is not a good thing to have in a landscape.
Here's one from Paul. Paul wrote in to ask about our recent episode on what to do if your garden was covered with recent floodwaters. Paul writes, I've got broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts that hadn't begun to form heads before the flood arrived. Would those veggies be safe to eat even though the plants themselves were covered by floodwater?
Yes, so Paul, as we mentioned a couple weeks ago when we talked about flooding in gardens, if any of the fruits form, whether it be the beans or the broccoli or the cauliflower, after the floodwaters have receded, then you can eat them. It's okay. If any of them formed before that or during while the flooding was happening, then you do not want to eat those. So it sounds like in your case, yes, you can go ahead and eat your beans, your broccoli, and your cauliflower.
Okay. If you've got questions for Charlie, visit vermontpublic.org, search All Things Gardening, and submit your question in the post or give us a call. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.